coming to you live from the city that time forgot. It's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello.
Sorry, guys.
Ted Sampson and Christiana D.
Yay!
Now, your favorite blacksmith, here's Nate.
Not making time travel puns this time. Just gonna let it stand on its own. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Friday episode.
Hi.
How you doing?
It's Friday.
We're in love with you.
I think we all had different Friday songs.
Friday of a three-day weekend, you guys.
Yeah, it's...
Don't forget,
Labor Day.
Bay Bridge is closed.
Yes, it is. So if you're going to San Francisco, don't.
Don't, yeah.
Go through Marin.
Just don't.
Just don't.
And then if you want to go to Marin, don't go to Marin, because everyone's going to be going through Marin to get to San Francisco.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just don't.
Stay home, everybody. Stay home.
Or take BART.
Yay, BART.
If you're feeling saucy or lucky. Coming up on the show today, I'll beg you to buy stuff on Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. We have a lady who bites a cop. A woman dislocates her jaw doing something you might do every day anyway.
Oh.
I'll tell you what that is. And why Facebook, or a way that you can cut back on your Facebook use. It's a little bit extreme, but you don't have to quit. You can cut yourself off. Hey, if you'd like to call the show and leave a message, we might play it back. We might not. It depends on what you say. And if we like it, it's 818-861-6283. That number is also on NateDarlingShow.com, right on the top banner. You can email us at NateDarlingShow@gmail.com. We love your happy comments, your fun comments, and if you want to say something mean, go ahead. It's your prerogative.
Just don't say it about me. I'm sensitive.
You can do what you want to do. It's your prerogative. That's right. We went to Bobby Brown. Hey.
Pop.
Hey. We gonna shoot. I don't know why shoot popped into my head. I do, because the rental car we had on the road trip had satellite radio.
Here I go again, girls. What's my weakness?
Man.
Okay, chilling. None of my business. So
we're so dope.
I couldn't believe this. I swear. My niece, my witness.
So tragic.
Had to go on with something kind of wicked. Had to hit the.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm not shy, so I asked for digits. Oh, no, that don't make me. I'll stop.
Oh, okay. We'll play that then. So we'll let that play. As I talk about the last half of my vacation.
Ooh, woo! Did you shoop?
We did. We actually, that was one of the songs that when it came on, turned up the radio.
Was it the 90s? That satellite
it was
radio
the 90s.
Was awesome.
It was the 90s, yeah.
Did you have a rental car?
We did.
Nice.
My buddy rented a car. Rather than use his car or my car for the whole thing, he rented a car in San Luis Obispo, a Hyundai Elantra, which is a very mediocre car.
Good.
I would not buy it, but it was fine for what we're doing. And is there anything better to say than, it was fine. So
it was really fun.
I'm probably going to be renting a car in like 2 weeks, and it's going to have satellite.
Yep.
And I'm so excited because I did the same thing last year on the same trip, and it was the best because that 90s station was the best. And I was just...
Aww.
And the whole way down, I was like...
Shooping?
Jamming, looking like probably pretty much a complete moron in my car.
Yeah, we had...
But I had a great time.
We would flip around a little bit. We had a couple of hit stations.
Too
there
many
was
choices.
There's a station called Lithium, which is like alternative Seattle-type music.
Well, it seems appropriate.
Yeah, it did. And then we went to the 90s, a little bit to the 80s, and that was pretty much it. And then we listened to a little bit of baseball, too, because you get all of the sports channels, too.
Amazing.
Yeah. So the vacation Friday through Sunday. Friday morning, we got up in Seattle and we went to the Museum of Flight.
Ooh.
And if you'll recall from Facebook, I posted a few pictures of Air Force One, the Concorde, and on Air Force One, I tagged Ted because there is a typewriter on there.
Yeah, it's a trend.
It is.
Ted sounds thrilled.
Yeah. Hashtag, is this a thing?
I think it is a thing now.
It is. There's the great wheel.
Ooh, it's a wheel.
It is. Hold on, I'll need this for
Seems
later.
It's rather two-dimensional.
It's the reasons to move to Bend. Hold on, I'll find it. Museum of Flight, that's what I'm looking for.
You collected quite a few brochures, my friend.
I did, because you want to remember your trip. I knew I had to talk about it, and I'd forget about stuff. But the Museum of Flight is really very cool. It's at Boeing Field, and they've got a mock-up of the shuttle. So it's not an actual shuttle, But it is a full-size mock-up, and you go in the payload bay, which is kind of cool.
Like Scooby-Doo.
Outside, they've got a Concorde, Air Force One, which you can walk through, and they put plexiglass. Everything's sort of sealed off with plexiglass so people won't ruin it. But the thing about the Concorde that I found really interesting is how tiny it is.
Oh.
It's 9.5 feet wide, and there's two seats on each side of the aisle. And there's an aisle. Everything is so small in the Concorde. And, like, I had to duck inside. And one of the volunteers, because, of course, there are docents everywhere because it's a museum, he's like, I had people getting off the Concorde who are, like, claustrophobic. They come off.
I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to do it.
I mean, the trade-off is space. And, I mean, it's not built for the American flying public of 2013. And that's probably one of the reasons why they retired it, is because normal size people.
That one time it crashed.
Well, sure, but planes crash. It happens. Sure.
Except they don't. Qantas. Qantas never crashed.
It's true.
Rain Man, what? I said Rain Man. Oh, okay.
It's true. Qantas never crashed. Way to pull
why
that out.
Why do you do that to Qantas? Poor Qantas.
But, yeah, as we know, planes do occasionally crash, and you find out the pilot's name after.
Oh, no!
We have new information now also on the plane crash. KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Too Lo, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ao.
Sorry, I had to.
Why? Holy
Fook. It's so ethnic to say Holy Fook.
I know. So back to the Museum of Flight. It was just really crazy because you have like all the newer aircraft, but they have a whole section of World War II aircraft and like the personal stories of like all sides too, not just Americans, but the other side too. And then if you go upstairs from that, it's the World War I aviation part. And you look at those things and go, these people are the bravest, craziest motherfuckers who ever lived. Because it's essentially if you took, I've seen sturdier looking curtains on sale at IKEA that were stretched over wooden things to make to sort of go ahead and make a plane. But
has anybody watched the first ever Best Picture winner Wings?
No.
It's a silent movie.
It not is the sitcom.
The sitcom. It is an amazing film that I don't know if you can get it on Amazon or something. Probably somewhere. So worth watching. It is such a good movie.
Yeah,
you will forget that it was made like a bajillion million years ago, has no sound. It's about World War I flying.
Yeah,
aces, and that's why I bring it up.
And there's a reference.
It's amazing.
There is
everybody watch it.
There is a reference to flight in the movies, like war flight in the movies.
Yeah.
Including there's one area where you can like lift up a thing and go, were they real authentic airplanes or did they fake them? And in some films, they use the real authentic, say, German planes to signify Germans.
And others,
they faked it. But yeah, the Museum of Flight was really kind of cool. That was what my friend Jay really wanted to do in Seattle. So
I'm super jealous of your vacation.
It was such a blast.
I really would like to go to there.
You should. You should go. Oregon is a fantastic. I'll get to the rest of Oregon in a minute, but then after the Museum of Flight, we drove to the park and ride and took Sound Transit, the light rail, into Seattle, which actually was pretty good. I would say Seattle, Portland, and San Diego were all kind of on par in terms of getting around with public transit, at least where we were going. A lot cleaner than BART. A lot less scary than BART.
Nice.
The one thing that I found interesting is in Portland, all of the stop announcements are in English and then in Spanish. In Seattle, just English. No Spanish.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's interesting. Because it's not like there aren't... There's plenty of Hispanic people in Seattle. I don't think there's more in Portland. It's just sort of a different way of setting everything up. But we went back into Seattle. We went to Pike's Place Market, which is always a blast. Hit the first Starbucks, which is there.
The first ever.
The first ever.
The mothership.
Yep. The,
ooh.
And, ooh. And then, of course, today, as we're recording this, the CEO of Starbucks announced that they're not going to do anything in advance of Obamacare to screw their workers.
That's good.
Good job, Starbucks.
Which is more than I can say for a lot of other companies who are like, oh, Obamacare's coming. We're going to have to cut
I'll
people back
you.
And do this and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be bad. It's going to be apocalyptic, so we can't do anything yet. So Starbucks... did the right thing with that. And I actually, at the farmer's market, didn't get to see them toss fish again. There was no fish tossing. I've been to Seattle twice. I've not seen a single fish tossed.
I know what I'm bringing to the next podcast.
A fish?
Becca, you bring a mitt. I'm going to bring some carp.
Oh,
do I have to participate?
I don't.
Ted, you bring a
carpe diem, seize the carp.
Well, now, I imagine the cat will leap up in the middle and just catch it.
Yeah, because Hef will do that.
Be pretty awesome.
Hef will jump up in the air. He would click out of midair because he's crazy with like the laser light. If you got it, like if I go up the wall with it, he will go up the wall after it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's just like he's on a mover.
He's a killing machine.
Can we throw
Doesn't
something
he look like it?
Vegan, like a Swedish fish?
Aw.
Yes. Okay. That also would be funny.
Yeah, but make sure it doesn't get on the carpet because it'll stick.
I also don't even know if Swedish fish are vegan. They might have gelatin in them. I'm not sure.
I think they do.
Damn Swedish
fish. You can look it up.
What about a chocolate fish?
Ooh, a chocolate chofar fish.
Oh, by the way, the 1927 film Wings is available to stream on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Okay.
Or it's worth the $2 or whatever they charge for
it. I went on Netflix.
And if you
watch this movie, it's so good, you guys. It's so good. Oh, my God.
If you streamed it on Amazon.
Better than the Voyage of the
Mean. Yeah, if you bought it on Amazon. You could probably get there through the NateDarlingShow.com.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it would be really good. Well, I don't want to compare them because one's like a boat and one's about the air. So
they're still elements.
Different.
It sounds the same.
One's Clara Bow is in it. She's pretty badass.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
She's a famous old timey silent movie star.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I've been to Seattle twice. There have been no tossing of fish. The first time that part of the market was closed.
What a ripoff.
This time no one was buying fish and they weren't tossing it. So
is there a fanfare for not tossing fish?
I know. I'm trying to figure out why we're celebrating that.
No, I'm just playing a song by Fish.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, but it's live. I get it.
Yeah.
Live fish.
Duh.
It's fresher that way.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
But as soon as they stop cheering, this is bouncing around the room. So I'll leave this on for a little bit.
Fish.
So we did that Pike's Place market, and I actually, it is a farmer's market, of course, and I bought, and you might have seen the pictures on Facebook, I took a picture of the giant blackberries that I bought, and that was when I was being good. That was
huge.
The part of the trip when I was being good. I had just eaten a burrito. That was the part where I was being bad. See, it was an alternate thing. It was a yin-yang.
Ooh.
And then we went to the Pike, Seattle Brewing Company, where I stole a bunch of coasters. While I had
coasters.
A beer, but they were very good too. So if you're in Seattle, this is a trade off for the coasters for your 12 cents worth of coasters. Check out the Pike; it's on First Avenue in Seattle. It's not far from Pike's Place Market. So go check them out. They've got their own line of beers.
That's not our souvenirs.
That's no, souvenirs. You guys have no souvenirs.
Damn it!
We have Nate's memories as souvenirs.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on,
you get to live them over with
Ingrates.
Me.
Great.
So we
I
went,
don't know.
We went to the Mariners.
The stories last a few minutes, but the jealousy lasts a lifetime.
It's true. Come on, you have that t-shirt. Anyway, it's an inside joke. So we went to the Mariners game on Friday night, Mariners Angels, and the Angels actually won.
Yay!
Yay! The Angels swept the Mariners in Seattle. And I will say this also, Safeco Field is a fantastic place to see a game.
Nice.
Really nice park. Everybody there was super cool. Just a nice vibe and a great place to see a game. That was Friday. Saturday, we headed back south into Oregon, where we once again went to Widmer. Because my buddy loves brew pubs, and Widmer was really, really good. Really good. And again, I had the pulled pork because it was really good.
You'd like to pull that pork, don't you?
Yes.
Or something.
I do.
I like my pork pulled.
The Widmer Brothers Brewing Company. If you're in Portland and you like beer, go to Widmer. Because you're not going to find a better place to have like beer and food. And if you want to buy a Widmer t-shirt, like I'm wearing one right now, their t-shirts at the store are $10. And
that's
if you
pretty
buy
good.
And if you buy food, you get $5 off any $10 purchase.
Wow.
So this shirt cost me $5, and this is a $5 Portland Timbers Widmer Brothers pint glass.
Nice.
But we did that, and then we headed toward our ultimate destination, Bend, Oregon, because we were going to hit Crater Lake. And then we realized we're going to be going by Mount Hood in Oregon.
Ooh.
Which is the highest, I think, no, I don't know if it's the highest point in Oregon, but it's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
And we, so we're driving down through and we see this ranger station off the side of the road. I'm like, let's pull over there. It's an information center and see what's going on. And he goes, well, if you want to see Mount Hood, the best place to see it from is you look for the Timberline Lodge Road and you go about 6 miles up. And that puts you 6,000 feet up Mount Hood.
Wow.
And the Timberline Lodge is there. And it is, they shot a little bit like an exterior scene of The Shining there. It's not, The Shining isn't about the place, but it's sort of shot there. And the vistas on a clear day are insane. Because they ski on Mount Hood. You can go up there and ski and stay at that resort and do that. But we could see over nearby mountains to other mountains. It was crazy. The views were absolutely fantastic. So I would, stupid Spotify.
Was there still snow up there?
There was snow on the top.
Cool.
Not enough to ski, but when you get to the top of a mountain, Mount Hood, I believe, is like 11,000 feet at the summit. So I would say at about 7,000, there was still a little bit of snow.
Because I think this was the time of year that Rob and Brian went on like a bonding snowboarding trip once. And it was in the summer. And it was at Mount Hood.
Yeah, it's Timberline Lodge. I lost my headphones there. There we go. I can hear myself again.
Me? Did I pull it?
Yeah, it was a little bit of pulling.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We didn't lose any audio. We just lost a little bit of that. Hey, Becca, take a look at that. You can sort of describe what's... what you see, here's the visitor's guide for you. But the drive up was really cool. And to see the inside of the lodge, and this was one of those 1930s work projects where the government made busy work for people who didn't have jobs.
But it worked, and you got pretty stuff out of it.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. The lodge is gorgeous. The views there are fantastic. So if you find yourself in that part of Oregon, take the drive up the hill. Because it really is a fantastic view, and very much worth it. But it was interesting because it was windy up there, and I'm from Sacramento now, and people go, "Oh, you're from Vermont." No, I've lived in Sacramento for 6.5 years. My blood is thinned, so when it's 50 degrees and the wind's blowing off the snowy mountaintop, I'm cold. But there were Oregonians there that were walking around in t-shirts and shorts, and I said, "Well, good for you, but that's not me anymore." That's just not going to happen.
Super cool.
It is. It's a fun little trip. And so there, I asked this, how much is it a night to stay here? Like in the off season? She's like, well,
did they pretty woman you?
Can't
afford it.
No, they didn't. They actually have it in a display case below what the rooms are. You can get, they have rooms with bunk beds in them. If you want to go with like a big group, that start at $190 a night, and that's based on two people, and then it's like add another $20 a night for additional people. So it's not bad if you're doing a big group, but like a queen bedroom is, their normal price is like $235 a night.
Yikes.
Which, you know, for a high-end hotel really isn't too bad. Because try going to Seattle in the summertime and staying in the city, there was nothing under $230 a night. That's why we stayed near SeaTac, because staying in the city was just not going to happen. So after we finished on Mount Hood, we made our way toward Bend, Oregon, home of Deschutes Brewery, which, of course, we had to hit another brew pub. As I have established before, my friend Jay loves brew pubs. And
does Galston Dart, right? Galston, judging by all of your tagging of beer on Facebook.
The funny thing about that...
like, look, Galston, here's more beer.
The funny thing about that is my friend Randy watched the cats, and he works at KCRA. And I went over to drop off my keys so that he could, you know, pop in on the cats. And I used to work there, so I was talking to Gulston. He goes, how come I never see you on Facebook anymore? Where are all your posts? And I go, dude, I don't know. I haven't decreased them. I think it's probably just because I don't work at the same place. It's one of those things where Facebook goes, oh, you're no longer coworkers. You're not at the top of their feed. So what I decided to do was anytime I was having beer, I would just take a picture of it and tag Gulston. It was sort of an inside joke to keep him in on that. But the beer at Deschutes is also very good. The food was good, but not quite Widmer good. But if you're in Bend, Oregon, what is there to do, really? Well, you could move to Bend, and as this is an actual brochure that I pulled out of the Super 8 Motel in Bend, Oregon, which I do not recommend staying at unless you like really hard beds and terrible pillows.
Do I?
And rooms from the 90s with tube TVs.
Well, the dream of a 90s is alive in Portland. I guess it also is in Bend.
The actual 90s are alive in Bend. But here are the the top 10 reasons to relocate to Bend, Oregon. The only rush hour traffic you'll face is waiting for a family of deer to cross the road.
That would annoy me.
Fucking deer.
Yeah. You can wear ski boots to the grocery store and nobody looks at you funny.
Aww.
Unless you wear nothing but the ski boots.
True. Maybe not. It is Oregon. If you don't do it this year, you'll just be 1 year older when you do.
That's not a reason to do anything, is it?
It is. It's one of the top 10.
It's not a valid reason, is what I'm saying.
A good powder day is perfectly acceptable excuse to miss work.
Like Coke or?
Ah.
No, I believe they mean snow. I think Brian Krall is already moving to, he's opening the Sacramento Comedy Spot Bend location.
The far northern annex.
Yeah. So wait, can you just bring this brochure into your office then? Like once you get a job in Bend and you move to Bend and then you don't show up because you're skiing, can you just bring this in? It was in writing. It's a contract.
I believe you can. It's printed on glossy paper. So yes, it's also 14 craft breweries, enough said.
Again, wow, that seems valid.
Again, Brian Krall moving there already. Fly fishing on the Deschutes River during your lunch break.
Meh.
A vibrant entrepreneurial spirit and supportive business community.
Is that true?
They say it in print.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Also, a talented workforce powered by amazing local higher ed opportunities.
Higher what?
There are, yeah, higher there's, ed, what schools in Bend?
I believe there's an Oregon State Annex there. No sales tax is another reason. That was another nice thing about being in Oregon is there is no sales tax. And the number one reason to relocate to Bend, Oregon, because you only live once.
That's, again, not a good reason.
That's right. You can move your life and business to Bend. Visit mymovetobend.com and bendforbusiness.com.
That sounds especially wrong.
It does. The landscape around Oregon is so changeable. Like there's desert landscapes and mountain. It's just crazy how it sort of changes. And just, I wasn't really expecting that, but it's kind of a cool different thing. So that drive down through by Mount Hood and down to Bend was kind of cool. Last day of the trip was Sunday. Got up and went up to Crater Lake, and Sunday happened to be Free National Parks Day.
Yay.
Free national parks. I don't think they should be kept. Wait, what?
Free the parks. Free the parks.
So we get up to Crater Lake. You. It's saving the whole $10 admission fee.
Yay.
And we get up to the rim of Crater Lake because it's a lake in the volcano. And we get to the first, there's turnouts all around the road. And we get up to the first one and get out. We start taking some pictures. And it's getting dark. And I suddenly start to hear thunder off in the distance. And I'm like, we better get back in the car. So we took a few more pictures. Back in the car, it starts raining. We start to drive. We get maybe a quarter of a mile down the road. Now it's raining so hard you can't see.
Oh.
And we find the first safe turnout to get off the road where we had to wait for 10 minutes while it rained and hailed.
Nice.
And then once it was safe to go, we went to the Crater Lake Lodge where they have really expensive sandwiches. And so we had lunch there, and my buddy Jay called his wife and said, what's the weather forecast supposed to be? And it was like, well, once it stops raining, it's going to be foggy. So we left.
That's not on the brochure, is it?
It's not, but it was one of those days where there were a lot of storms, like high in the mountains and that sort of thing. But Crater Lake was unbelievably beautiful. I mean, it really was. But with the changing weather, it was kind of tough to, because you get up there and it's like, oh yeah, it's, and then no. But they do have these trolley tours, like 2-hour trolley tours where they stop like at literally every scenic overlook. But at a certain point I would think I would get bored with it because you're really just looking at a lake in a crater of a volcano. At a certain point it's like, oh, here's a little different angle on the exact same thing I just looked at. If you'd like to visit Bend, Oregon, they have an entire, this is a full-size magazine of visiting Ooh. Bend, Oregon.
Nice. Wow, so you get a whole magazine just for your visit, but if you're going to move there, it's really just one one sheet of paper.
They don't want you to stay that much.
They do say, love your life a little more in Bend, Oregon.
Okay, just a little bit, though. You don't want to overdo it.
So see, maybe.
Oh, yeah. You're thinking of the relocating
well,
to Bend?
Well, I mean, why not? It's been really compelling so far. So.
Sure.
They've got a Tower Theater, so I wouldn't miss that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's Tower exciting. Theater.
They do. Downtown Bend is kind of, it's like a cool downtown-y sort of thing. I mean.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Cool yeah. downtown-y thing.
Well, and they've great. Got and they've got Deschutes Brewery. So if you like being drunk and you like beer and you like skiing, I don't really miss winter.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I don't really miss winter enough to move to Bend. That's, you know, because I don't miss snow. Just yeah, saying.
Me neither, and I never really lived with it.
There you go.
It's cold and wet, I've been told.
It is. It's true.
What the hell?
So
snow.
So that, and then from Bend, Oregon, back through Klamath Falls, by Mount Shasta, which also had a bunch of clouds going by it and stuff like that.
Shasta.
I
want to. I like it. Shasta.
It's
Cola
refreshing.
Or the mountain? Do they even make Shasta Cola anymore?
I think
they
so.
Do.
Okay,
yeah.
That's really the point.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It's true.
They make so many flavors.
They do.
It's amazing.
I used to love their cream soda. Now I think it's disgusting.
Artificial yeah. flavors. So this was a lot of weird things happening in Canada this past week. A newspaper columnist decided to go topless in an interview with the Kelowna mayor. She's a BC newspaper columnist and radio host. She was chatting away with the mayor of Kelowna when she did something unexpected. Halfway through her interview, she undid a strap on her dress and bared her chest and then continued as though nothing happened. Lori Welburn, who writes a column for the Province newspaper, was asking Kelowna Mayor Walter Gray about whether a woman going topless in public would be arrested in anticipation of Sunday's Go Topless Day. I missed it. I was going the wrong way. About halfway through her questions, however, Welburn handed the microphone to the mayor to get a little more comfortable. By the way, toplessness is not illegal in Canada unless it's deemed to be indecent. The mayor told her that although many people would be tempted to call the police, if they saw a topless woman, there would be little the police could do. So,
unless it's indecent, like if you're waving them around sexually?
Well, I believe if you were pulling someone's head into them to forcefully make a motorboat, yeah. There would be that if you were to
assault with.
Yeah, if you were to say aim them in the general direction of an erect penis and rub them up and down on said penis, that would be the same thing.
Okay, I'm glad the laws are so clear.
Yeah, well, I mean that's pretty much it.
But
New York State is the same thing. You can be completely topless in New York State, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
I'm going to New York soon
in public. You don't see it a lot. But it is completely legal, so
I can make an impression in my first day of school.
There you go. But remember, we had the story about the lady who went into the restaurant. Private businesses are allowed to ask you to cover them up. So yeah, August 25th was Go Topless Day in cities across North America. Did you all celebrate?
I think I missed it.
I didn't know
was
it was happening.
I nursed my kid for 2 years. I'm pretty much over that activity.
Okay. Just
who
checking.
Created this holiday?
Women to empower women.
Really?
Sure.
It's something men would do to empower their wieners.
See, Ted, that's just horribly sexist and closed-minded of you.
That's probably true, though.
Yeah, it is. Terribly, horribly sexist.
Oh, I got a cat's tail. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Come here, buddy.
He's fine.
He is fine.
Bring him a Swedish fish next week. He'll be fine.
He is fine.
Come and cuddle, kitty.
Now on to Chicago, where police arrested a man and put him in the back of their squad car. And then, hold on, I have music playing for some reason. Let me turn this off. See what happens when I play Fish? Nothing good. It's like I've been smoking weed, too. It's
got
still
a contact
there.
High.
I have a contact high off of Fish music. There we go. There we go. Let's take a listen to what happened in Chicago. Oh, now it's not going to work. Fine.
I can whistle for a bit if that helps.
It does not help, but thank you.
Here's an aside while you're getting that working.
Sure.
So in this promotional magazine to visit Bend.
For Bend, yes.
Love your life a little more, blah, blah, blah. Picture of like a cool, you know, powder day skier. And the quote on the page is, never tell me the sky's the limit when there are footprints on the moon. From unknown.
Oh, that's...
Just shut it.
And that's so sad because Neil Armstrong died.
Oh, come on. Too soon. Oh, no one told Christiana.
When did that happen today?
No, it happened, I think, yesterday or the day before.
Miley Cyrus had nothing to do with it, though.
No, it did
I think
not.
It was yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, Neil Armstrong passed away.
I saw a couple of RIPs for it, but...
That doesn't make this any more sensical, though.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all because it's Oregon. Now, it doesn't have to make sense. It's Oregon.
Does that mean the moon's the limit?
Yep.
Right? I mean, the moon's in the sky. I don't really see how that...
Well, I think they mean atmospherically speaking. I think they mean the atmosphere of the Earth, and the moon is outside of that.
The universe is the limit. How's yeah. that?
Shoot crazy. For the moon, because the worst case, you end up with the stars, which is astronomically incorrect.
God. I'll lasso the moon for you, Mary.
You're not moving to Bend, are you, Christiana? On principle.
No.
Forget it, Ben. Not even if they opened
I'm staying on the five now.
Not even if they opened another
I'm
craft
going to
brewery.
Salem. Screw you.
Another crack brewery?
Craft.
Oh.
Well, a 42-year-old handcuffed man is accused of getting behind the wheel of a Chicago police squad car and driving away with it Friday. Oh. Marquette Fisher was driving an 89 Chevy Astro van when he was pulled over for failing to stop at a stop sign at about 12:45 p.m., after officers learned he'd been driving while on a suspended license, they placed handcuffs on him and sat him in a marked squad car. But as they began talking to passengers of that van that he was driving, police saw him, still handcuffed, jumping over the driver's seat of the police car with his hands in front of him.
Wow. And he must have slipped his feet through them.
An officer tried to stop him by opening the driver's side door, but Fisher put the squad car into gear and began fleeing.
That's amazing.
He was followed by police who stopped him a few blocks away. But the officers lost track of him after he fled on foot.
You boys like Mexico.
He was apprehended about 5.5 hours later at his home.
Holy, his home?
Well, yeah, I would
I didn't
imagine.
Think to check
they'd already checked his ID and everything, maybe when they come
well,
the
no, but why would he have gone to his house?
The registration in the van would be my guess.
No, I understand how they found him. Just the fact that I'm going to go home. That's a perfect place to hang out.
Well, where else is he going to go? He doesn't have a van anymore.
To a friend's house, unless they're on the van. All right, fine. He's brilliant. I'm sorry.
He was charged with possession of a stolen law enforcement vehicle, aggravated fleeing and eluding, misdemeanor escape from a peace officer, obstructing identification, theft, and numerous traffic citations, including driving while his license was suspended.
Aggravated fleeing?
Aggravated fleeing.
I'm aggravated and I'm running away. That's what that is.
That's a misdemeanor.
And eluding. I like that he's fleeing and eluding. Both of those things.
Aggravated eluding.
He was also wanted on two warrants, too.
I guess that explains why he drove away. I don't know.
And the mystery is not over. He is under police guard at Mount Sinai Hospital, where he was taken after suffering an unknown ailment following his arrest. I wonder if the ailment had to do with a few kicks for being fleeing, so to speak. Being fleeing. How dare you do that? Speaking of people you'd like to kick, Donald Trump in the news.
Oh.
New York's attorney general has sued him for $40 million over the weekend, saying the real estate mogul helped run a phony Trump University that promised to make students rich, but instead steered them into expensive and mostly useless seminars and even failed to deliver promised apprenticeships.
Caveat emptor, bitches.
Trump shot back at the Democratic AG's lawsuit, saying it's false and politically motivated.
Oh, brother, everything is politically motivated.
Eric Schneiderman, who is the attorney general in New York, says many of the 5,000 students who paid up to $35,000. You could go to a real school for $35,000. They thought they would at least meet Trump, but instead all they got was their picture taken in front of a life-size picture of the Apprentice TV star.
Like when they got their diplomas, they had to take a picture with him? Is that how that works?
The funny thing is, it was the real him.
It was a cardboard standee.
That is the stupidest.
They said,
waka, waka, waka.
Who goes to these things?
I think I know someone who went, you guys.
Do you?
Because I had this dance teacher like ages ago. And you know how you kind of end up on someone's business mailing list, right? And then maybe they aren't even in that business anymore, and every once in a while they've got something new going on. And I think that she had, because I remember there was like this Trump seminars and stuff, and it was like I was suddenly getting these invitations to these like Trump seminars for women in business or whatever. And I was like, what is this? I don't even know. It's been so long since I went to a class with her, but I think that she did that.
Oh, that is awesome.
I don't know if she ever became a bazillionaire.
Well, the lawsuit alleges that Trump University engaged in deception at every stage of the consumer's advancement through costly programs and caused real financial harm. Trump University, with Donald Trump's knowledge and participation, relied on Trump's name recognition and celebrity status to take advantage of consumers who believed in the Trump brand. But Trump's attorney is accusing Schneiderman of trying to extort campaign contributions from the real estate mogul. Through his investigation of Trump, attorney Michael D. Cohen...
Did you?
Told the Associated Press that Schneiderman's lawsuit was filled with falsehoods. Cohen said Trump and his university has never defrauded anybody. He said that Trump University provided nearly 11,000 testimonials from students praising the program and said that 98% of students in a survey termed the program excellent. The attorney went on to say the attorney general has been angry because he felt that Mr. Trump and his various companies should have done much more for him in terms of fundraising. Cohen said this entire investigation is politically motivated and a tremendous waste of taxpayers' money. So, yeah, war of words. And
don't go to Trump University. That's my
opinion. Don't go to any of that shit that's like that.
Yeah, I mean, any of that shit.
What
if you could learn? I keep messing with that thing today. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's just headphones. We can still hear everything.
I know. I don't get any of the motivational stuff or the how to. I mean, if it worked, they couldn't do it anymore because
people would be successful.
Yeah.
Plus $35,000. I mean, like you said, that's a real master's at a really good school.
You can go to a real school and get a degree with that.
Yeah.
Or you could go to Sac State and have beer money.
Oh my gosh, you could go to Sac State like 3 times with that.
Right, and you'd have beer money.
Yeah.
So there you go. Also, this past week on Real Sports, they did a follow-up to a story from 2008 because Trump was building this golf course in Scotland. And he was having this big fight with a guy that lived next to the golf course.
I read about that in Vanity Fair.
Sure. Well, now the golf course is there, but the luxury hotel is not yet. And Donald Trump is mad and is suing Scotland. Donald Trump is suing Scotland, which is not actually a country, but he is suing them.
It kind of is.
Sure. I'm Scottish. I can say it.
Okay.
They have put windmills in the North Sea, you know, to generate electricity and stuff like that. And he claims that those are a blight upon the landscape.
He's suing Scotland for blighting the landscape?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Is he insane? Oh, yeah, he is. Sorry.
Yes, he's completely insane.
I knew that.
And the guy he was having a fight with was just named Scotsman of the Year. It's a hilarious story, but
They have a Scotsman of the Year? Do we have an American of the Year?
No, because that would be racist, doesn't Becca.
Time magazine? Oh, yeah.
No, that's the person of the year.
I was that one year.
Were you?
Well, I think we all were, actually.
Yeah. It was you. The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa.
All right, I think this is going to be pretty easy to go through this. Up first in cooler tool, topless women, Ted.
Cool.
Becca.
If cool.
Want to be topless.
Christiana.
Cool.
Yeah, they are. Because they don't have anything covering their boobs. So it works on two levels.
And they're comfortable, hopefully. Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if you want the support, go ahead. Up next in cooler tool, handcuffs. Becca.
The context is everything.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's the guy who drove away with handcuffs on his hands.
Or just handcuffs.
It's okay.
I can't.
There's no punishment for this. You can pick one or the other. There's no actual implications.
It really depends on the context. They can be both cool and tool.
Okay.
Oh.
Ted, what do you say?
She's right on so many levels, but just for the sake of saying something, oh my God, handcuffs are so cool because they keep you bound up. So you can still drive with them, so that's awesome.
Wink.
Christiana?
Literal tool.
Ah,
there you go.
No, handcuffs are cool. They normally keep prisoners under control, and... if you like to play around in the bedroom, then you can have fun with them, too.
Yay, it's win-win.
You can go with furry ones or super severe ones, whatever is your mood.
You can buy them on Amazon.com.
You can, through NateDarlingShow.com. And finally, in cooler tool, I think we're going to all agree on this one. I'll wait until Becca swallows that water.
I'm ready.
Donald Trump.
Tool. You didn't even ask me, but...
Tool.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
He is a colossal...
Why do people still admire him? I don't understand.
Because he's a classy man.
Or watch his show that takes like 15 hours a week to go through this show. Oh my gosh.
I'm classy. I'm on TV and you are jealous.
I mean, what is he? I may not follow enough, but what's he done business-wise? I guess he's done his little TV show.
He's been bankrupt a few times.
He's known one to strategically file for bankruptcy.
His hotel in Vegas is a big blight and boring and stupid.
It's classy and awesome and classy and good, and you don't know because you're jealous.
That's true.
And Scotland is not classy. and I'm suing them because they're not classy, and the windmills are loud, and they cause shadows. Scotland. He's suing Scotland.
What a tool.
Jackass.
I'm not a fan. At least he does a good philanthropic work. I'm just kidding. He doesn't.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, I said it. Fuck that guy.
Whoa.
Hey, Donald Trump, let's get in a Twitter war, bitch.
Oh, that made big spikes on the...
Yeah, it did.
It's really aggressive.
It was. Well, I was yelling at Donald Trump.
It's
so.
Okay.
Big spikes.
Enough publicity for you. By the way, if you are near his building in New York, you guys have been to New York, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you been by Trump Tower in New York?
No. I recall it being very like black and gold and gaudy.
It's brown and gold
it's
and
disgusting.
Gaudy.
Oh,
it is
classy.
Seriously, if you're in that neighborhood, and you may or may not be, but if you're in that neighborhood in Manhattan, take a look at the outside and then walk in the lobby just to see. It has all of the class and understated elegance of the worst Vegas hotel.
Nice.
It's just and
circus.
Yeah, it's bad.
I think the worst Vegas hotel is Trump Towers.
Yeah, well,
is there a Trump?
Is that in Atlantic City?
There is a Trump hotel. I saw it.
It's in Atlantic City.
Oh, there's one in Vegas too.
I thought there was a Trump something when I was in Vegas. I saw a building.
No, that just said Rump.
Oh,
it was just Rump, Ted.
Vegas. Viva.
So this came out this past week too. You know how everybody's like, dog is man's best friend, blah,
yeah.
blah, 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 blah.
They say that.
Well, cats are actually man's best friend. Now, granted, this is from the Wall Street Journal, so it is an actual publication, but it's from the opinion section, so...
The Wall Street Journal, yeah.
Sure.
Not a fan.
And the story goes, there they crouch, the words cat and courage lurking in the same sentence. As an American man, I understand how I'm supposed to react. Cat, should I object? Give me a good mud-loving hound any day. Despising felines and pretending to is a sex rule made for males as powerful as pulling on pants. Man loves alliteration. Buddies of mine complain on and on about the fact that cats don't come when called. Some friends insist they're arrogant, measurably more so than we men. Above all, there is a threatening realization that women obviously seem to enjoy cats to emotional and cerebral depths that we guys just don't understand.
Speak for yourself, jerk.
Yeah, what's interesting is I find a lot of the women that I've talked with actually prefer dogs and have dogs. So it's weird. I think it's changing.
It's a trend.
Buddies of mine complain on and on about the fact that, yeah, okay, we got that one. Okay, I'm feeling a little embarrassed as I write this, but, well, we're both at the top of the food chain. We have whiskers and they have whiskers. It's time for the cold war between men and cats to end. I write books for kids, including two cats...
Two with
cats in them. Oh. Yes, two cats, one cup.
Ew.
Two cats,
one
box.
Saucer. Okay.
Two cats, one box. And while I was ensnarled by Old Yeller and White Fang as much as any boy, my favorite reading growing up was something called It's Like This, Cat, which was a 1964 novel by Emily Neville. The book's main character is a New York City kid. I'm sorry, this is going on like a Gordy Little thing.
It is.
A little bit.
I'm gonna skip ahead. But
skip to the end.
Yeah. Compared with felines, canines have been man's domestics roughly twice as long. A cat craves meat and knows how to prowl and strike in order to attain it more than any snarling German Shepherd or Husky. In fact, unlike a dog, a feline will die if you try to make it a vegetarian.
Yeah, it's true.
Becca. I'm just kidding.
I'm very aware of that. I've never tried to make my cats.
Vegan cat.
Nope. Can't do it. I know this.
A mouse is the perfect food for a cat because it's the right balance of water and protein.
Is that true?
I read that once, yeah.
Well, we should get some mice for our cats.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
So
they just need more protein and
we won't talk about it.
I don't know.
It's okay.
Just weird.
Yeah. So anyway, it turns out that his whole point is that men need to stop shitting on cats because cats are awesome.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah,
exactly.
Please.
So
I love cats, but I think in our coupledom that Ted is the bigger
yeah.
cat enthusiast. I mean, when we go for walks, if we see a cat on the street, it's like the walk stops and Ted interacts with the cat, you know?
I do like cats.
Like, I'll be like, oh, there's a cute cat. Let's keep walking. And he's like, wait a minute. And, you know, and he'll totally make friends with it. And the cat will come over and they like have a moment. It always happens.
It's hot.
So, and I think you probably post more cat pictures on the internet.
What?
Than the internet does.
That's true.
I love that about you, though.
Cats are great.
I've seen it. I like cats. I like both dogs and cats, but I mean, I grew up with one of each. Well, actually, we had two dogs, but I had a dog and a cat.
Aw, and a cow.
Many cows. But, you know, when you live in an apartment, dogs are a little bit more of a challenge, both finding a place that takes them and, you know, being able to, you know, get them out and dealing with stuff like that. Dogs are just a little bit, they're more like, they're closer to having a baby because you have to pay much more attention to them. Whereas cats, like my friend Randy came over once a day, spent like a half hour to an hour here, hung out with them, cleaned the box, made sure they had food and water and left. And in reality, he could have come over every second or third day, just cleaned the box, made sure they had food and water and left, and they would have been fine. You do that with a dog, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
A big
depression.
Problem. Yeah, well, and of course, I have two cats, so they just sort of hang out. Hi, Hef.
No, right now, I think he's hiding by the bike. Well, the bike is black, and he's black, and he's holds still.
He's using his natural camouflage to not be seen.
He's a genius.
Hey, you know, Australia is kind of weird.
Yeah,
I still want to go, but they have scientists there, too. In fact...
Are you serious?
It's true.
Really?
It's true. In fact, this one, Len Zell, he eats roadkill, and he isn't afraid to admit it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Crikey.
Partially squashed animal carcass may not rate highly on most foodies' wish list, but this one scientist reckons it's not only better for you, but will also earn you points with the environment. Len Zell eats roadkill. The scientist and author of Wild Discovery Guides says people should not...
If I saw it get hit, like, right there in front of me, okay.
Right.
He says you should not eat any old dead animal off the side of the road. It must be cooked.
Right. That's...
Cooked well, ideally eaten fresh and butchered properly, although he does warn against eating dead native wildlife, which is highly illegal unless you have a permit to do so.
Even if it's roadkill?
Yes.
You have to have a license to eat a dead mm-hmm. lion? Okay.
Well, I would guess it would be a kangaroo or...
A wallaby
or...
Koala.
Mm-hmm. A saltwater croc. While the thought of eating roadkill might not appeal to many, Mr. Zell says the major benefit is it's more organic than most supermarket meats, so it therefore has no pesticides and antibiotics. And it's free!
Free!
He also said it probably tastes fresher than your average supermarket steak.
He makes an argument.
He does, in fact, make an argument. Is it a good one? I don't know.
I'm not going to go that far.
He does admit to trying a range of meats, including kangaroo.
Ah.
He is licensed as a researcher to do so.
I thought there was more of a list than just kangaroo.
Pig.
Oh. That's not bold at all.
No, well, roadkill. Rabbits.
Okay.
Snakes. Uh-huh. As well as a variety of birds.
Emu.
But, he says, nothing beats blackbird cooked in aluminum foil mixed with garlic oil and red wine.
That's...
And here's how you prepare it. After cooking it with feathers, pull back the skin with feathers and all. It's just beautiful.
You have to cook it with the feathers?
Yeah, cook it with the feathers on.
That seems weird.
Rabbit is also unsanitary,
yeah.
Rabbit is also great because it's organic, so it doesn't contain antibiotics, and it's free of chemicals and has a wonderful gamey flavor to it.
We were listening to NPR, and they said you can poach a salmon in your dishwasher.
He suggests wrapping your dead animal in foil with some garlic, onion, red wine, and even some veggies, popping it near your car's engine, which will cook it slowly. By the time you reached your destination, you've got a meal.
He's so green.
He is.
He's amazing.
Yeah. And while he says he hasn't tried camel, which was long considered a pest in the outback, he thinks it's a national disgrace. The culled creatures aren't used for live export meat or milk, which has more benefits for humans than cow's milk. So
camel milk?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of such a thing. I've heard of chamomile tea, but that's not the same.
They said camel milk is closer to human milk than...
Yeah. I have.
I know goat milk is similar, and aren't goats and camels are both the hooved...
Oh, cloven-hooved?
No,
I don't know. So are cows.
No, it's not. Goats aren't cloven-hooved.
Oh, you're right. They're not. They're uncloven-hooved?
Are they ungulates or something?
I don't know what they are.
But I know that goat milk is more similar to human milk than cow milk is, and that's more easily digestible sometimes for people who have cow milk problems.
Where do you get camel milk?
And somehow I feel like...
From a camel.
It's probably easier if you're where there are a lot of camels.
If you don't have a camel...
You put it in your camel bag.
Go with the goat milk.
But if I want to go get camel milk right now, where would I go?
That would be really hard in this country, I think. I imagine it's something that's eaten more widely in other countries.
I don't know. Have you tried Whole Foods?
Maybe.
There you go. Try the Whole Foods.
I like the notion of camels being pests. Go
ahead and... Here's what you do for fun. Go to your local farmer's market and ask them if they have camel milk.
Do you have camel eggs?
Just go to every single one. But fun story from the zoo in Seattle. At one point, we walked by and the jaguar exhibit. And there was a jaguar asleep on a bunch of hay. And I overhear this woman say, "We're going to see a lot of those on our trip to Africa." And I just looked at my friend and went,
"That's not where they
live." Exactly. No. They're from South America.
Okay. You're going to have a very disappointing trip.
She's going to learn the difference between a jaguar and a cheetah. Because I think she was confused by the spots.
Oh.
They can't change those.
No. No, a leopard cannot change the spots.
Cheetahs can.
It's the third one.
It's very strange. Anybody, any of you guys ever tried acupuncture?
No.
No.
I would, though.
I had
would
a girlfriend you? Who did.
Yeah, I was looking into
how was that?
It.
She'd actually apply acupuncture to herself, like, while I was hanging out, like, before I went to bed. She'd, like, put it in her nose to relieve, like, congestion, I guess. It was a little disconcerting.
I would imagine.
But good for her. She's a doctor.
So you'd try it?
Yeah, I would do it. Acupuncture or acupressure, I would do that.
I was really curious about it because people have had success with it for migraine headaches, which is something that I've struggled with for years. And I've actually looked into it, written down phone numbers, and then just never gotten around to
making
the appointment.
You buy some needles. I can figure it out.
No.
Some cute ones with like multicolored little tips.
How hard could it be?
Well, this...
What could go wrong?
Well, here's exactly what could go wrong.
Oh, dear.
No.
woman went to get some acupuncture. at an acupuncture clinic and then had to call 911.
Oh, God.
It went something like this. "Yes, I'm locked inside someone's business establishment. I don't hear anybody. The music went off and the door is locked and his car is gone." That came at about 6 p.m. on August 5th from the Hua Tao Acupuncture and Chinese Herbs Clinic. The operator asked, "Are you a patient?" The caller said, "Yes, I was in the middle of a treatment. All of a sudden, I saw him running out for someone to come. I ended up pulling the needles out."
That's not right.
The disoriented patient woke up on the treatment table, said, "I had to pull needles out of me in order to, you know, find out what's going on. I'm yelling for help for about 5 minutes or so." Even the 911 operator seemed stunned. She said, "Oh, my goodness." Dr. Jeff Tsing and his wife are the only two employees off camera. He said he was ashamed and still baffled at how he forgot his own patient.
Oh, God. Aww. That's embarrassing.
Acupuncturists are, in fact, licensed and regulated in Texas by the medical board. According to board documents, Jeff Tsing was licensed in 1994, and records show he has no history of disciplinary actions against him. So, except for that one time he forgot. Maybe there's some sort of treatment for that. Board. You imagine you wake up, you sort of like you're getting a massage, you sort of fall asleep, you wake up, and you're like, "Hello? Hello?" Except you've got a bunch of needles in you.
Oh, that's man. The worst.
That would be crazy.
I'm not gonna.
It would be. Now,
don't do it.
I mentioned earlier in the show if you have a problem with Facebook, you're on it too much. Well, there's a new device out there for you that gives extreme Facebookers an electric shock for wasting too much time on the social media site.
That is a sad thing.
Yeah, I'd try that too.
The shock.
Why not?
Well. Robert R. Morris and Dan McDuff, despite being PhD candidates at MIT, therefore presumably pretty brainy guys, could not figure out why or how to cure their own Facebook dependency. So they figured that they wasted 50 hours a week on social media, which has already been the subject of a multi-billion-dollar IPO and its own Hollywood movie. So in true MIT fashion, the eggheads created a new technology to fix the problem rather than just logging off.
That's what I was going to say. You really couldn't figure out a way to do it, like turning off your computer?
Well, the problem is really, really smart people sometimes lack common sense. Just saying.
See, because I'd switch the diction and say they're really, really intelligent people and they're lacking the smarts.
Well, either way you want to put it. But TechCrunch chronicled this, that while the technology may be new, the theory behind it has been around for a long time. Their invention called the Pavlov poke, named for...
It sounds like a sex position.
It does.
The Pavlov poke.
You guys going to go home and try that? Anyway, according to Fast Company, the Pavlov poke monitors the amount of time a user spends on it. Report back next week.
Okay.
on Facebook or any other site that the user wants to kick the habit of. So it could be eBay, for instance. It could be YouPorn. When the time limit is reached, it gives the person on the site an electric shock. "The shock's unpleasant, but not dangerous," McDuff said. His partner in Pavlovianism, Morris, added that he saw, quote, "a significant, though temporary, reduction in Facebook usage."
Oh, that's bad.
So apparently they built up a tolerance for the shock.
Right when you you said porn, I was like, oh, someone is going to get into this, probably.
It's entirely possible. They may Pavlov poke the junk. I don't know. They might. You could, I suppose.
So is this like a thing that people can avail themselves of, or they just invented it for themselves?
They invented it for themselves, and it's still very new. So it's not like you can run down to the Sharper Image or Brookstone. I'm just thinking of two places that would sell completely useless shit for really high prices that you don't need. But you can't get that yet.
Make up some software that will just shut down Facebook and you can't log on again until time has passed. It's not, why are you doing a hardware solution to a software problem? Am I right?
You are right, Ted.
You are right.
Hey,
or
Ted.
Just be like,
they just want an excuse,
hey,
to shock
why
themselves.
Don't I just use my finger and push the off key and then like go for a walk?
Or here's another way you could do, although with the new batteries, it doesn't work as well. But if you had like a laptop and you only had, you only used it until the battery died, you could do that.
There right. was a, I read about a website, but it has since shut down. It was called like, it was coldturkey.com or something. Oh. Sorry, I'm not in the mic. I'm petting the cat.
Oh, the yes. mic. Oh.
Put me in a weird position on the couch.
The cat put you in a weird position
well,
on the
I'm
couch?
Sort of slouching over the cat. Okay. I don't want to. Anyway,
I understand.
And then when I mess with this thing, it makes a noise and it gets mad.
Oh, Nate.
Yeah, it's my fault.
You're making
usually,
her nervous.
What were we talking about? We're
talking about the Pavlov poke.
I don't know.
Oh, the website Cold
the
Turkey.
The website Cold Turkey, where you could put in, it would basically, you could time lock yourself out of Facebook. So
yeah.
It's like, I need to do 2 hours of work,
that's
so I'm going to self block Facebook. Book for a couple of, that's smart.
That's the software solution I'm talking
there
about.
Go.
Or
there
you go.
Or you could take your cell phone and set a timer on it. When the timer goes off, you get off Facebook. Or whatever oh. you're doing.
Or you just deal
they
with
just
your,
want to
deal
shock
your
their
shit.
Junk.
I don't know.
Guys.
Yeah, well,
nerds.
That's, yeah, MIT nerds. They should have gone to Trump University. Solve the problem there. I need to do something about this stupid box that I bought. Buy more stuff on Amazon so I can replace this piece of crap. Problem solved temporarily.
Everyone should pre-order Xbox 360. Oh, wait. Xbox One on Amazon.
Or PS4 or
PS4,
whatever.
Or
whatever
the
you
WrestleMania
do.
Game that's coming for the Xbox 360.
Oh, that's true.
And you can buy it for me and I'll use it.
He will. He'll test it for you.
And then we'll have a whole new set of earworms.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
It's a win-win across the board.
Everybody wins.
Yay.
You know where everybody loses?
Florida.
Yeah. In what could be called a nutty case involving squirrels and peanut shells, a 57-year-old Vero Beach man is in lockup.
Uh-oh.
An Indian River County Sheriff's deputy arrested Eugene Oates, no relation to Hall or Oates, after an apparent spat with neighbors over peanut shells discarded by squirrels.
Oh,
why, and why not?
The woman called for the man, saying she didn't wish to speak with Oates because Oates, quote, had an issue with them feeding squirrels peanuts, and the squirrels would deposit peanut shells on Oates' lawn and driveway, which Oates did not approve of.
Okay.
Oates and the man squabbled over peanut shell issue.
Oi.
Often roasted and salted, peanuts are a crucial ingredient in peanut butter, which is sold in jars and paired with jelly and making peanut butter and jelly.
Is that really in the...
Yes, it is.
I have to get to so many words.
It is. Meanwhile, the man the man said Oates grabbed his arm and tried to pull him outside, leaving two scratches. I don't know where that came from. It's in the middle of this article. It's like he had a weird grand mal seizure in the middle of his article. Jesus.
I can just see the editor being like, we need more background in case there are people who are not familiar with peanuts. I
swear to God, it starts with
twerking or something.
It's like stuff from the affidavit. It's like the peanut shell issue. And then the next paragraph is often roasted and salted. Peanuts are a crucial ingredient in peanut butter.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
that's
no
so
shit.
Wikipedia is so handy.
They also say, meanwhile, the man said Oates grabbed his arm, tried to pull him outside. That left two scratches. The article says the squirrels could not immediately be reached. Deputies hauled in Oates on a battery charge. Hall is still at large.
Hall and Oates.
If this were a Plattsburgh, they would just put it on Speak Out about the peanut shell issue. They don't call the police.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just men. No. Women in Florida are at it this week. And they're not really molesting anybody this time, no.
Thank Yay! Goodness.
A 57-year-old Rivera Beach woman was arrested after authorities say she dialed 911 to report that her sister owed her money and that she needed cigarettes. Samela Sammy Felder is facing a charge of misusing the 911 emergency system. She was released from Palm Beach County Jail on her own recognizance the same day she was arrested. Apparently late last Friday in Lake Park, where she allegedly called 911 to report her sister refused to repay her. A dispatcher gave Felder the non-emergency number for the sheriff's office and told her to use 911 only if there was an emergency. But deputies alleged that she continued to call 911 even after the warning. The deputies responded to an address on Cypress Drive where they found Felder standing in the middle of the road. When asked why she kept calling 911, she said she did not know who else to call.
Oh.
She repeatedly told the deputies she wanted her money and cigarettes.
Oh.
One track mind.
Ted, who are you going to call?
Amazon.com.
Oh, come on. That was a Ghostbusters.
Oh. Oh,
very disappointed in you.
I didn't even know the context of that one. But Ghostbusters, next time you're cigarettes.
For who are you going to call?
Yeah, I kind of did, but I didn't know why we were... Ghostbusters!
There you go.
So I didn't realize peanut shells were contentious like that. We had... Ted and I had this like bag of like old peanuts that, you know, we weren't going to eat anymore. They looked like they were kind of weird. And so like little by little, I'd been putting them out for the squirrels in our kind of our front common area, and peanut shells were being left around, and it never occurred to me that that could be like a source of ire.
Oh my God.
We should check our local speak
out. You better be careful. Somebody's going to attack you.
Thank goodness we don't live in Florida corner.
Yeah.
We live in Carmichael corner where peanut shells are A-okay. We've gone through the whole bag now, so it's not an issue anymore.
It gives your front porch that homey pub saloon feeling, like kinda, bar.
Yeah,
it's like Logan's Roadhouse.
I can still remember the first time I went to a bar that had peanut shells all over, and I was just like, what is this? My mom was like, they do it for, you know, it's like ambiance and fun and whatever. And I'm just like,
it's garbage on the floor.
It's disgusting. Pick that shit up. Yeah, come on.
Back in the Northeast, they have the ground round. That's one of the things they do. They give you peanuts you can throw on the floor. And I know Logan's Roadhouse, that's one of their big, oh, you can throw the peanuts on the floor. And it's like, yeah, great.
So convenient. That food there's so bad.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you can't bring a peanut butter and jelly sandwich into school anymore.
You might kill a child.
Allegedly.
Nope.
Well, how do you get away with Logan's Roadhouse then?
Well, you don't. I mean, you don't go there.
Well,
it's
then
not
don't
a great
go to school.
Idea.
You're not allowed to bring a peanut butter sandwich to school?
A lot of schools.
Yeah, they banned it. Yeah.
Often roasted and salted. Peanuts are a key ingredient in peanut butter.
Can you bring a tuna fish sandwich to school?
Yes.
What if a kid is allergic to tuna?
It's different because people some kids are so allergic to peanuts that even the peanut dust or the peanut residue.
Yeah,
where they share stuff.
Shouldn't they live in bubbles then?
And it happens so quickly.
And not among normal
people? That's what John Travolta did in the 1979 movie, The Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
No, they shouldn't live in bubbles. It's a pretty small thing.
Is it?
To give up on a campus.
It's giving up America.
Yeah.
But you're all for that.
That's how a lot of people react.
Yeah, what if...
After the girl died at Camp Sacramento, the first four comments on the Bee article, well, I'm not about to give up sending peanut butter and honey sandwiches with my granddaughter for school because it's her favorite. This is the parents' responsibility. And I'm like, you should, you know.
What if they ban?
Fuck you, lady.
What if they wanted to ban beans and rice? How would that be for you? You're the food of your people.
I don't eat a lot of beans anyway, but I don't think that many people have bean reactions.
But what if they did? It does. What if just one? Only one? I'm kidding. I don't really care enough to fight about this.
I don't know. Watch someone go through anaphylactic shock. Come back to me. Tell me how it goes.
Is it is it somebody I like or somebody that I would really rather see dead?
Donald Trump.
Trump. I would do that. I would let him go.
Yeah.
I would take a guy in a Mr. Peanut costume and stuff it in Donald Trump's throat.
Oh my goodness.
The whole guy. It's crazy. Hey, if Becca wasn't already a fully fledged vegan, this might push her over the edge. News from E: a woman dislocates her jaw biting into a giant America burger. Still claims burger was amazing.
America Burger. That's a perfect name for a burger that's too big to bite.
It is. Nicole Pete is a 25-year-old from England, and she dislocated her jaw after biting into a triple-layer burger. It is called the Kids in America Burger.
Of course it is.
It's three patties, pretzels, and candied bacon.
Is this a thing?
Pretzels and candied bacon?
And offered at the almost famous restaurant in Liverpool. So it has nothing to do with America.
Oh, I love it. They're like, all Americans put candy and pretzels on their
No, candied bacon.
Candied bacon and yeah. pretzels.
I dislocated it. You don't expect it to happen eating a burger, but I tried to eat it with a knife and fork and I couldn't. I couldn't open my mouth fully. It felt like I had a cramp in my tongue. And then I started to get an earache and a headache. That's what she said.
There's a disgusting close-up picture of the burger.
Well, yeah, if you look at any sort of food that... Well, that's the outside, too. That's like that looks like barbecue sauce, burgers, and bacon.
Oh, it's just not...
She continued, the next morning, I felt really, really ill. The whole side of my head was hurting, and then it started to feel like my jaw, and I knew I dislocated it. So she went to the Royal Liverpool University Hospital, where, of course... They fixed it for free.
Yay.
She suffers from Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or EDS, which makes her joints prone to dislocating. So she's abnormal. Although she tweeted, it's still no excuse, and her attempt to eat a burger was a poor effort. She also says, aside from the odd dislocation, it's mainly just good potty tricks.
Oh. She'd never survive in America.
and she then tweeted, surely, as a social media manager, I should be pleased to have gone viral. ? Hashtag cringe. So
God, I love how much research goes into this story about her background.
And it's on E.
Okay.
She goes on, haha, I'm mortified by it, but I can vouch that my one bite of burger was amazing. I'll be back. Maybe give me a week, though, when I'm allowed to open my mouth wider than 50 pence apiece. There you go. So,
congrats. The accent that got you there?
That sigh was on behalf of Rob.
Oh, bloody hell.
I'm sorry, Rob. Would you like me to go back to my dumb Englishman accent? I was trying to give her some credit. I was opening the burger and I put it in my mouth and... Sorry.
Yay.
Terrible. Anyway, back to America, where women don't where women have tougher jaws.
Didn't you get the quote from the emergency department clinical director?
Oh, I'm sorry, I
think it's important. The BBC quotes advice from emergency department clinical director Catherine Clark for Peel's next visit. If food is too large, we recommend cutting it into more manageable chunks. Good advice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I want to put that out there.
And I don't know if she needs a boyfriend or not, but if she can unhinge her jaw, literally, I don't think she'll have a problem finding one.
That's true. Men like that.
It's true. Back to Connecticut, which is in America, a Darien, Connecticut woman is facing multiple charges after police say she bit a male officer following a car accident.
Don't buy it.
Allison Richards, who's 27, was arrested on August 13th of charges of driving under the influence of alcohol.
That's a trend.
Failure to signal, assault on a police officer, second degree breach of peace, and interfering with an arrest.
Second degree breach of peace.
Yeah, the first degree one is terrible. Police were called to a car accident on Hollow Tree Ridge Road around 8:45 p.m. after a Subaru Legacy landed nose down in a resident's lawn. Police believe Richards was intoxicated because she was swaying while standing and slurring her words. Yeah. She told police she'd been at Lord and Taylor, dropped off her son at home, started drinking, was unsure of how she ended up on the road.
Oy.
Inside the vehicle, they found a six-pack of Golden Monkey beer.
Golden Monkey beer?
Which was missing one bottle that police say they found outside the car. When they tried to take her into custody, they said she began to scream profanity at officers, tore off her shirt, threw it at a female officer.
Yeah, I think it was topless day, right?
That was a different day.
Okay.
Officers attempted to subdue her, according to the report, and she began to fight and thrash around, kicking the officers and attempting to punch the female officer. Police said when they finally placed her inside the patrol car, she began to scream and kick the partition. When they got to the police department, she refused to exit the vehicle. when the officers brought her in to be processed, she kicked at them and continued to yell. When they attempted to restrain her, she bit one on the elbow. Later in the processing area, police say she attempted to undress herself. She continued to threaten officers, refused to leave the booking area, and had to be carried into the cell.
Oy.
So I think the lesson here is don't go to Lord and Taylor. It does terrible things to you.
That was my direct takeaway.
Yeah, I mean my too.
I mean, I've never been to one. I've also never bitten a police officer. Coincidence?
I think Lord and Taylor makes you bite police is what...
Correlation or causation, either way, don't go.
That's right. You know where you should go. Amazon.com through NateDarlingShow.com. It's the best way to support the show. We would really appreciate it. Buy your Christmas gifts, your Hanukkah gifts, your Kwanzaa gifts. Things for Thanksgiving, American and Canadian. If you'd like to buy a Columbus Day gift, go ahead and do that. Celebrate the suffering of the American Indian if you'd like to do it that way. Buy something for your local tribe. Do whatever you like to.
Halloween costumes.
Your Halloween
costume. Back to school.
Yeah, go back to school.
Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Thank a veteran.
Mm-hmm,
buy
it's
some
true.
Stuff.
Yeah. You know what you could do? You could study up on why veterans are so important. There are all sorts of historical movies,
yeah,
DVDs.
Like Wings. I'm gonna
exactly.
Come back
great
to that.
Comedy.
You should really watch it.
Yeah, not
that one.
Not the TV
not
one, no.
One.
It's a silent film.
2.5 hour tour to Silent Force.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could buy those ridiculously overpriced textbooks that they make you purchase.
There you go.
Right. And at Amazon, they're not as overly priced, and you don't have to stand in line. That was one of the things I hated about college, was you had to have your list of books.
Like,
and
kick
you,
that huge stack along in the long
and
line,
yeah,
like,
and
waiting,
you're,
like shuffling
you're,
it.
You're looking through all the stacks going, good God, where is it? And then you got them all, and then the line is literally a 45-minute wait to pay a ridiculous amount for textbooks. Amazon, it's you click, you schmick, and they bring it right to your door. Somebody,
the schmicking's essential.
Somebody else schleps it to you, Ted.
Boy, I love having things schlep to me.
It's true.
I don't want to get off my tuchus and schlep it myself.
Yeah, Amazon.com through NateDarlingShow.com. Please.
Not to kvetch or anything.
Support the show.
I'm such a stereotype.
We love you.
Boy.
It's time for this.
The
so
Nate
much.
Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town. Okay.
Stop on Nate
Small
Darling.
Town news.
A mitzvah?
It is. It is a mitzvah.
Do a mitzvah.
Yes.
Go to
trying to throw in a couple more.
Be
there.
A mensch.
Yeah. Oh, we got mentioned.
I mentioned already.
She
I
mentioned
know.
It. Oh, mentioned.
What? Puns.
Judaism, son.
Well,
I introduced Ted to the new girl this week.
And we are.
So now we're full of Schmidt Judaism references.
Are you gonna get your own douchebag jar?
We might need one for the kitten, honestly.
Well, small town news. It's not Gordy Little. I'm sorry, Ted.
That's okay.
It comes to us from Greenville, Maine. Summer in Moosehead Quilt Show. That's right. On August 31st, the Moosehead Quilters will be presenting Summer in Moosehead, a quilt show from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be held at the Union Evangelical Church. That's at the Blinking Light in Greenville, Maine, by the way.
Oh, at the Blinking Light.
That's parenthetical.
That one light that blinks.
There will be quilts on display representing new techniques as well as the old favorites of traditional design. Admission to Summer in the Moosehead is by donation. They have included vendors from the area, quilting shops, to complement the Moosehead Quilters craft/consignment table sale.
She spelled compliment wrong. Unless they're going to come there and say nice things about them. Anyway.
They will.
Oh, good. Okay.
In a joint effort, the members have made and assembled a wonderful Summer in Moosehead quilt that's being raffled. Raffle tickets available at the door day of the show. Advanced tickets can be purchased at the Crazy Moose Quilt Shop on Pritham Avenue.
They're the light that does not blink.
That's where the quilt is displayed, by the way.
Oh.
The day of the show, there will be a door prize drawing, which will be drawn at 3 p.m. If unable to be there at 3 p.m., Ted, the winner may pick up the door prize at Crazy Moose.
Good to know.
Drawing for the raffle and quilt will be at 3 p.m. sharp.
Didn't they? Okay. That's
and by the way,
already.
Because it's small town news, the post was contributed by a community member.
Yeah, I think that's... Anyone can be a journalist these days. That's the beauty of the internet.
I love that the byline is Shayla Talbot, and it's spelled... maybe it's... You know what? Maybe pronounced Sheila. S-H-E-L-A-G-H. But it's all in lowercase, so she doesn't think that much of herself.
She writes about quilts a lot.
Well, who wouldn't, really?
I guess.
Maybe she's the PR person for the Moosehead quilt.
Yeah, her other byline, special exhibit at Aviation Museum in Greenville. I didn't know they had one of those.
He's learning a lot.
Depot's guest to reveal secrets of famous stars. And the Greenville Depot readies for August 17th event.
Okay, can I just say something?
Of course.
So at the end of this article about Summer and Moosehead quilt shows, it
sure.
says, we recommend... Boy 6 killed in wood chipper as siblings watch.
That's a recommended story.
Wow.
Man shoots, kills himself in a hospital room. Those are the stories they recommend after quilting.
Well,
amazing.
I think you need to read that in the other order. Like, you should wrap that all up with a nice
quilt.
Nice quilt story.
Yeah, I agree.
Horrible
metaphorical equivalent of wrapping yourself in a quilt and rocking in the corner.
I don't know why that shows up on yours. I just have similar articles, and they're all about quilting.
Okay.
From Camden to Holton to the 35th annual quilt show. That's going to exhibit the Guild's finest stitches, by the way.
Which light is that next to?
I think it's in a different town.
Okay.
And also the 16th quilt show at the Sumsville Fire Station. That was on May 18th. So
I think I'm using the mobile version. You're on their computer. That's why.
Yeah.
The mobile app doesn't really know how to correlate recommended articles with what you described.
No, not at all. I mean, it's really quite morbid.
Totally different hobbies.
Yeah. I mean, when you're out and about and doing that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. Wood chippers.
Yeah, you got to be looking out for stuff. You're like, oh, something could be happening. I'm a guy on the go. I like violent, dangerous news.
Horrible tragedy with kids and wood chippers.
Hey, everybody, be safe this Labor Day weekend. Don't cross a union or a union member.
Yep.
Especially a Teamster, because I hear tell that they're a dangerous lot.
They're surly.
They can be.
They've got horses.
Mm.
Teams of horses.
Thus the name.
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody, you have a great holiday weekend. We will see you next week with two fresh new episodes of The Nate Darling Show. Until then, enjoy Fall Out Boy as much as you possibly can. Because my songs know what you did in the dark. Oh. So light them up.